This is ABC Radio National, Amanda Smith with you, with Artworks Summer Highlights, and a feature that takes you to Denmark, the land of Hans Christian Andersen, and the spiritual home of children's theatre. This country of only around 5 million people supports 150 theatre companies for children. How about that? And Denmark has the world's largest children's theatre festival. In this land of princes and princesses, one actress is known as the queen of children's theatre. Her name is Bodil Alling.
Men den gamle kone, hun var slet ikke så venlig som hun så ud til. I virkeligheden var hun en slem heks, der lurede på børn. Ja, hun havde kun bygget pandekagehuset.
When Michael Sheriffs was in Copenhagen, he went in search of the queen, but on the way stopped off at a cafe to find out why the Danes have such a strong focus on children.
A general Danish and Nordic way of looking upon kids is that children are species of their own right. They are not just little grown-ups who are waiting to become big and real grown-ups. They are children, and that they should be able to meet the arts just because it could be challenging for them, not because they should learn something from it, not because it should teach them to behave in a certain way, but simply because all kinds of aesthetic expressions are necessary for human beings, and kids do take in art in a different way than grown-ups. So I think that basic view upon children and their need for arts is very important.
This is the Danish writer and arts critic Anne Middelbo Christensen.
And because the children's theatre in Denmark already started in the 1960s with groups of peace, love and harmony people, left-wing fanatics who drive in cars along the countryside and stop out at any school and play performances about peace. That was the fundament. But it means that today, 50 years after, we have artists with very big experience of how you can reach kids and how you can get into dialogue with kids on the kids' terms, not just on your own terms. And that experience is very important.
Actor and director Dirk Bakker is a co-founder of one of these many small troupes travelling around the countryside and surviving on the smell of an oily road.
The group is called Teater Patrasket, which is a kind of funny name in Swedish for touring people. The kind of people that you have to take in your laundry when they come.
So like gypsies?
Yes, something like this. It was an old man who... when we were very young as a company, there was an old man who was very angry with us, and we had parked our van on his part of the yard, and he was shouting to us that we was a damned patrask. So we ended up with this being the name of our theatre.
I love it that you've taken a Swedish name.
Yes, but sometimes it's a problem because you have, even in Denmark, we have to translate our name, which is sometimes a little, but now it's okay.
One of the things that in Australia we have, and it seems it's an Anglo tradition of tying children's theatre in with education, is a way of almost giving it validity, legitimising it. That's not the case in Denmark, is it?
No, I think in Denmark it's been... I mean, it's not that we have not had this link to the educational system, as we play on the schools as well, and we also have to legitimize our art, as all artists have. But of some reason, it has been quite a strong attitude that the art should be art for its own purpose. And I think it's not only in Denmark, though, that there has been this, but it's true that when we come to the English-speaking countries, it's quite there's a stronger tradition of linking theatre and education together.
As if the children's theatre would fall apart by itself, would not be substantial enough by itself.
Yes, maybe it's also the whole concept of that you have to raise children and you have to tell them what to do and not to do, which is maybe not as strong also in Denmark.
So much more didactic or moralizing, yes, form of theatre.
Yes.
However, you do have very strong support from the school system because a lot of children's theatre gets performed in schools, and schools derive official benefit from that. They get a subsidy for that, don't they?
That's true, and that has been like that for many years. It's been a central part of the cultural policy that we have been benefiting from the state, is that every time a school or an institution buys a children's theatre piece, then they get 50% refunded from the state, which make it possible for us to come to the school and which make it possible for the school to pay for our shows.
But even with the subsidies, you, as a collective group of theatre companies, survive on almost nothing, really.
Yes, that's true. And so actually, I think when you are working with children's theatre, you are doing from the heart, because you don't do it for the money, and you have to fight all the time to get the economical thing to work. So you have to do it from the heart, absolutely.
The sort of ground that children's theatre has made up would surely have produced a very large generation of children who value it. I would imagine that would give you certain security, certain guarantee from those children that become parents, that understand that this is an inseparable part of growing up.
I also think that our generation of parents are valuing our children's lives a lot. In Denmark, it's like that. You speak about curling parents, you know, that we are moving our brushes in front of our children. And so I think also that very many parents are wanting their children to have good culture. I think so. But of course, as it is, children's theatre is in competition with all the other cultural products of our time, which is very much nowadays. And that's what we have to face all the time. So we have to also to stick to the strength of the theatre, which is that you see the live performing and you have this open dialogue with possibility of open dialogue with your audience, which is the strength of theatre compared to other art forms.
So with Dirk Backer's words in my ears, I head off in search of the Danish Queen. No, not that Queen. I mean the Queen of Danish Children's Theatre, Bodil Alling.
Skip.
Bodil has been with the same theatre company, Theatre Gruppe Trediv Otta, or Theatre Group 38, for the past 30 years. And while she does perform for adults, her passion is for children's theatre. But not all children are the same.
It's very difficult to talk about children as a certain group of people. They are very, very different. Even children 6 years old is not a group. They are very, very different. And that's the same when you talk about adults. You would never say that this is the same group of adults who understands and experience in the same way. And I think very often you see that when you talk about children, it's like they are one group of certain people. And I think they are not. So I think it's the way of talking to and with your audience is to start by realizing that you never know who they are. You can never guess who gets in. So you have to find a way of talking to the people who enter. So for me, it's very important when I tell stories and when I do performances that you have the space where you can really watch and see and understand where are we now, who is there, who am I, who are you. And I hate when I leave the theater and the audience leave and I understand I don't know what happened, we never met. They watch me and I watch them. It's very important for me.
I mean, you're really describing the same dynamics as a conversation.
Yes.
And this is a function of children's theatre, particularly in Denmark, that idea of eye level, that you are making contact with your audience.
Yes. Then there is a very important thing, because I also want them to go into a magic room. And you see, that is where it is very difficult work to do, because I want them to be in the same room or the same space, but my space is magical. Strange things happens here. You never know. You never know when is it theater and when is it just real. And I work very much with trying to make that mix, so that, oh, now it's just you and me and we talk, and then I change the room, and then I hope that you think, well, this is completely strange and magic, but I'm still a part of it. I think it's always a little phony to explain, because when it comes to it, it's very, very simple. And I think it's very difficult to explain. And when time is running in the theater, you have to have the idea that this is the most important story and time in the world right now. In 45 minutes, we leave it, and the whole world is going on, and everything else is very important. But in this 45 minutes, this is the center of the world.
You're listening to Artworks on ABC Radio National. I'm Michael Sheriffs in Copenhagen with actor Bodil Alling, an institution in Danish children's theatre. And in the tradition of another great Dane, Hans Christian Andersen, Bodil's not about to sugarcoat her stories, unless, of course, it's the tale of Hansel and Gretel, because for Bodil Alling, it's the storyteller's role to sometimes go down some dark roads. But as she says, with children, you must have strong arms to catch your audience.
For example, I'm doing The Little Match Girl. You know, it's the saddest story in the world. And I like it to be. I don't want to make another end of that fairy tale where it's not so sad as it is. It is such a sad story. But it's also, if you take a very good extra look at that fairy tale, it's so full of hope that the hope in the story is even bigger than the sadness. I don't know if you remember the fairy tale, but you know about the girl who is sent away from home. She's supposed to sell matches. How can you earn anything from selling matches? And it's so cold, and there is no one there who sees her, who hears her. Her parents, she can't go home if nobody buys her matches, and they don't. So she can't go home. This is the saddest, most cruel thing in the world. And then, in the middle of all that, you could light a match and you can imagine, what if there was a wonderful goose to eat? What if there was warmth in here? What if my grandmother suddenly was here and the world changed? And even though she dies in the end of this fairy tale, her imagination has been so strong and beautiful that she's even warm when she dies from the cold. And for us who listens to the story, we know that even though we can imagine, we can find some way, somewhere. I know that doesn't go. There is things in the world that are so cruel that it's almost impossible to find a way out. But what if? What if there is a way out? What if? Then there is something to look for, to search for, to go for. And then I think it's more easy to deal with all this difficult things in the world.
It sounds like you see a function of children's theatre, and particularly at a formative age, of being about teaching empathy.
Yes. But there is one thing that is very important for me. I never teach. I never teach anything. You're free to go being as stupid as you was when you entered. I will not teach anything. I am not more clever than the audience. I just want to make a common feeling of something that is wonderful.
While these are certainly difficult times for cultural bodies, especially in Europe, the Danish arts model is coming off an enviably high base, being somewhat quarantined from acts of political whim by virtue of an arm's-length approach to funding. But in times of global recession and European meltdown, just how healthy is children's theatre in Denmark? Here's the writer and critic Anne Middelboe Christensen again.
It's healthy in the way that in Denmark annually there's about 500 premieres, 500 new stage works, which is a lot for a country of only 5 million people. It is healthy in the way that Denmark does have an arts policy and a theatre policy that supports performances, both in the form of support to theatre institutions with buildings, but also theatre projects for artists who don't have any stable base or any specific theatre, but people who tour, and especially within the children's theatre, people who tour schools, daycare institutions, libraries, town halls, places where they can get in touch with their audience. So yes, it's both healthy and it's tricky, because the ability of making money doing theatre in Denmark is very, very little.
Because it's such a tiny market.
It's such a tiny market. We are not enough people who speak Danish in this world. We cannot tour unless we have a text machine, and still it would probably not really be the same. So making money on theatre in Denmark is not possible. Luckily, since 1961, when we had our first cultural minister and cultural ministry and cultural policy, it has been accepted widely that art does not have to be able to make money, that it's a civilized burden upon the Danish society, that arts has to be supported. And that is basically important for all the performances right now. But the number of artists have gone up, and the number of performances have gone up, and the support has not gone up. So therefore, there's a big fight right now over the money that there actually is. And the question, of course, always is, should you support the names that you know can produce on time, or should you rather risk and go for the unknown young names who might bring the theatre of the future, as with any other art form?
So does theatre then become more conservative just because it plays safe?
Luckily, I don't think it plays safe, but there might be quite a big gap between the very risky and very experimenting people and then the conservative or more sort of traditional performances, like, for example, at the Royal Theatre and at the theatres in the big towns. Yes, there's a big division.
And if you expect people to pay, in a, you call it a burden, a sort of a tax to maintain a cultural life in a city, you've got a government now that is more right-wing, that is in favour of lower taxes and has brought in, you know, policies that have reduced the amount of money available. Does that cause a loss of what? Institutions or performances? Where is that being felt in the arts scene?
Well, our government has decided to stop to raise the taxes, and that has really resulted in problems for theatres on all levels. and it has made many big protests amongst the artists because nobody really wants the taxes to go down, because it's obvious that the social welfare system and the art system needs more money. But that's a political discussion on its own. Most radically, I think right now the problem is within the children's theatre, because the schools and the daycare institutions are having such a big fight just to survive with the daily tasks of giving the kids sandwiches in the afternoon or whatever, that they can't afford theatre tickets as well, and that is a big problem.
But that's just the real world, and I think that perhaps children have got bigger issues to deal with.
Are there places you won't go with children's theatre? Are there taboos? Are there subjects that are not, for you anyway, appropriate for children's theatre?
I don't know if there are things that are not appropriate, but I think I would never do a story where there is no hope, that you have an end of a story where there is no way out of here. I would never do that. I don't know if it's because I think it's not, that it's kind of forbidden or... But for me, it would be... I couldn't do that. Maybe I wouldn't care so much about that if it was for adults. Because sometimes, and don't tell any children that, but sometimes there are no way. But I would never do that for children, never.
Does that also include portraying a sort of a loss of innocence for a child? I mean, you know, loss of innocence to me is understanding that the world has limitations, that life can have intractable problems, and that cruelty can be absolute.
I don't know. I just feel that it would make no sense to say that there is no way here. It would be
cruel.
Not just cruel, but it's like saying God is dead. I think that would be the same.
Because even to say God is dead, that is a form of dogma. I assume that you're not trying to impose a particular interpretation on a story either, that it's up to them to actually arrive at a decision.
Yes, I think that's very, very important. I think it's something... Again, back to this, if I am a teacher or if I am a storyteller, I don't know any truth in this world. I don't know more than you do. I have more experiences, and when it comes to this story, I have been thinking very carefully about what is it about, what do I want to tell you with this story, why did I choose this story, but I'm not very much... clever than you are. I don't know more. I can't teach you anything.
And Bodil Alling is known in Denmark as the Queen of Children's Theatre. Her company, Theatre Group 38, was awarded the Prize for Artistic Excellence from the International Association for Theatre for Young People, ACETEJ, in 2011. In Copenhagen, Michael Sheriffs was speaking with Bodil Alling, as well as with Anne Middelboe Christensen. She's one of Denmark's leading arts writers and theatre critics, and also the actor and director Dirk Bakker. He's one of the founders of Theater Petrusket, just one of the many touring children's theatre companies in Denmark, that also do a considerable amount of international touring. On any day of the year, there's at least two Danish children's theatre groups performing somewhere else in the world. Bodil Arling's company and another one called Theater Reflexion were both performing in Australia in 2011. And if you want to know more about these groups, there's info for you on the Artworks website, as well as some pictures. I'm Amanda Smith. This is ABC Radio National Summer.